you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, your heritage is that no weapon formed against you will prosper. That's your heritage. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Any tongue that rises against you will be put to silence. You know who puts it to silence? You do. You do. You just say, no, that's not what the word says about me. That's not what the word says about me. I'm the righteousness of God. No weapon formed against you will prosper. In Jesus' name. Well, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your glory, Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. The Lord has been really talking to me about the importance of the written word being in your lap when you come to church. So I would ask you please to bring your Bibles and not just your phones when you can. Nothing wrong with the phone, nothing wrong with the iPad, but I really sense that there's some things that you're going to write in your Bible that will, you'll go back and look at, and it will really bring success to you. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Isaiah 48:17. Isaiah is a good book, isn't it? So filled with good things. Man, praise the Lord for his presence. We're going to look at verse 17 there. Now, this is a word set up for you. This is your word today. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teaches thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. God wants us to prosper. Amen. He wants you to profit, and he wants you to do well. I said, God wants you to do well.
He does, all the time.
He wants you to do well. You're his kid. I want my kid to do well.
Yes.
And he said that he would teach us to profit, and also that he would lead us.
Yes.
He would lead us or show us the way to go. So, now we know some things here. We've been around this for a little while, and we know some things. We know that if you're going to get a harvest, you're going to have to sow a seed. Every farmer knows that. And we're farmers of the Spirit.
Amen.
We know that we have to keep the weed off of our seed. We don't want it choked out. We know we have to water our seed. We know that we water it with the word and with our word confession type thing. And we have all these verses that will tell us what to do. There's a lot of verses here that are going to tell us what to do. They're general. They're for everyone, but we understand them. Tithing and giving, that's for everyone. Staying out of strife, walking in love, forgiving, no complaining, staying out of being offended, not getting into materialism. Materialism is when you try to solve a spiritual problem with material things, with just like you think you can pay your way into being happy. There's not enough money in the world to make you really happy, really joyful.
Right.
It just depends on what you do with it. It can't have you. Amen. But you can have it. Anyway, lust, we know to stay out of that, worry or fear. And we understand that all of this helps our harvest, but I just want to talk to you about, during this offering time, I want to talk to you about something very important here. And it says in this scripture, the Lord wants to teach you to profit. This is part of it too. It's not just, well, I'm just going to keep tithing and we'll pull the lever and let's just see what happens. No, he wants to teach you to profit, and he wants to lead you to profit. And sometimes we kind of get on the other side of things, but he'll lead us. He'll show us. So how does that work? Well, John 16:13 says, John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He's going to show you the good deal. He's going to show you the land. He's going to show you the house. He's going to show you the job. He's going to show you the people. He's going to show you the church. He's going to show you the city. He'll show you the plan, the witty inventions, the ideas, the concepts. He will show them to you. He'll let you know what's coming so you'll know when to sell out, move on, move up, buy this, buy that. He knows bear and he knows bull. Amen. He knows what he's doing. So part of our prospering or our profiting will be that you have to be able to be led by the Spirit. You're going to have to know. So if we listen to the Spirit, you get led out of the wrong way into the right way. And he can give you, like I said, these ideas and the ways to profit. And he can also tell you, no, that's not a good idea. So he does teach us the spiritual part. But he'll teach us and lead us down right paths and give us these ideas so that we can also do this, walk into divine appointments.
Yeah.
You don't take every job. You take the ones that God lights up. Those of you that are contractors and such, it's smart. There might be somebody you want to avoid being your client. Amen. Well, I need to take everyone I can. Well, you might want to ask the Holy Spirit about that. There might be someone he might actually say, no, don't go there, don't do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you really have to move away from worldly thinking because sometimes less will end up being more. And I think about the fact that a lot of times that you have folks that won't take a job that is beneath them, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, they've had this lifelong career, but they won't take something when the creek dries up, so to speak, or the brook dries up and they're moving to the next thing. Sometimes they won't take a job that pays less because, after all, they're worth $130,000, $150,000. Why would they take a $60,000 job? But if God told you to, you'd be doing the right thing, right?
Right.
Amen. It's just the truth. So I went from $96,000 a year to $350 a week to move here and start this church. That was a big difference. Amen. Our board shows how much money I'm supposed to make, and I'm about half that. But God blesses me because I'm supposed to be here. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. So, but we do what we're called to do because we're, you know, some people just don't have a clue about just doing a good job. They just do the job to get the paycheck. But that's not what God calls us to do. He called us to be problem solvers. He called us to profit in what we were doing. And so some people think success is let's just get as big as we can. Let's get as many employees as we can. I've seen this in the past. The person starts out, they're doing real good in their business, and they've got it real tightly put in there, and everything's in place, and then they just want to have a bigger name. And then here comes trouble. They add this and add that and add this and add that, and boom. And so good if you're led by the Spirit, but not good if you're not. I want to tell you something about me, and I think it'll help you. I was sharing this with Art. I was looking at something I was interested in to be invested in, and so I looked at it. I got the green light. I invested in it, and then I found myself sitting at my desk saying, man, I sure hope this pans out, and the Lord heard my thoughts. And he said, wait a minute. Just like that. I was telling Lord this. He said, if I put you in that place, it's your job to see that it prospers. So get your words on it and quit hoping and get your faith that thing you just put some interest in there, that it will prosper. Start talking to it. So I did. And it's already going up.
Yep.
And it will go up. And it will be good. And the company will prosper, and I will prosper.
Amen.
But I got on the wrong side of that for a minute. I hope, you know, I got Deb involved. I hope it'll do something here, you know. No. If he put me there and it was him, then I'm going to tell it what to do. Like, well, who do you think you are? God's kid that God told to buy it. So we need to watch out that we don't get on the other side of these things. Y'all with me? See what I'm saying? That really, really helped me. So I'm not going to fail. A lot of people don't understand that serving in the church will prosper them financially. If you serve in the church, you will end up defining your life.
Yes.
And you will see prosperity.
Amen.
By the way, how many of you were here yesterday? Everybody that was here, stand up. Give them a hand. They clean this church from top to bottom. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everything you did. Praise the Lord. I was so thrilled to show up, and Jesse was already cleaning the toilets. That was my job last time. Thank you. I'm telling you, Pam has this coolest vacuum cleaner. It's on her back. I came out, she looked like she was going to be a jetpack and fly off. It was awesome. Praise the Lord. You all are awesome, and I thank you for cleaning up around here. Please come next week. Please come. Bring a friend. You need to meet Pastor Brandon, and you need to celebrate with us. Okay, so, you know, a lot of people want to answer their call for fear of failure. Well, I couldn't do that. But if God tells you to do it, then you need to do it. If you follow the Spirit, then you might sometimes do some things that you didn't expect you would do. It might turn out to look a little different, but it'll work. And I just think a lot of people think they're following the Holy Spirit, and they're following their flesh. The thing about it is you got to get enough word on the inside of you so that you can tell the difference whether it's your spirit or whether that's your soul talking. Word will define that. What am I talking about? Hebrews 4. The word of God is what? It's sharp. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll cut between soul and spirit. You have enough word in you and then spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit does what the word says. The Holy Spirit does what the word says. So when you have the word, Holy Spirit acts. When God said, light be, listen, God wrote the word, did he? Started with Moses and then everybody who wrote the word. This is a long offering word, but it's okay. We'll be all right. So he wrote the word, right? And then somebody put it on. He said the word, and somebody put it on paper. So it was spoken first.
Yes.
So God spoke it. Holy Spirit's going to carry it out. And then you'll get all the basics, but then in your personal life, you'll get the personal details from Holy Spirit. But if you'll put the word in there, you won't make the mistake of going the wrong way. And you make a few mistakes along the way in life, and don't be upset about it. Get up and just go on. Trust God.
Yes.
Amen. But you don't have to make them. You just probably will, but you don't have to. Mm-hmm. Let's just say this. You have, but you won't anymore. Let's go there. That'd be good. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you today for all the tithers, all the givers. We thank you that we're going to wax great, move forward, and grow until we become very great. We thank you for prospering us. We thank you for access to divine knowledge and plans, witty inventions, ideas, and concepts. Lord, show us truths. Teach us to be honest with ourselves and others. Show us what we do well. What do we do well? Show us what to leave alone. We declare a hundredfold harvest in the barn now. We take it, we have it, we thank you for it, and we always forgive in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, brothers. Praise God. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. This is the time. We're going to win. Praise God. If you'd like to give via text message, the amount you want to give, just put it in there. I'm reading it backwards. Text VCHL and the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link and complete your gift. Praise the Lord.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Well, it's a good day.
It is a good day.
We now know who the baby is. Yeah. Can I tell? Okay, so the baby's pink. So itty bitty Bobby is itty bitty Bobby Jean. Bobby Jean, Bobby Lou, Bobby Lee, Bobby Lynn, or just Roxanne would be really good. Or Karina. I like Karina. You have a great name. I like Karina. Isn't that pretty? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm excited.
Hallelujah.
Take your Bibles and go to Romans 12:1. Now, I want you to see, I want to tell y'all something. When we got here this morning, just like usual, but when we stood in the circle, I heard the Lord say, "I'm excited." So I said it. And we started going around the circle. And everybody started saying, "I'm excited, I'm excited, I'm excited." So then we took it to the prayer room. And we all started shouting, "I'm excited, I'm excited." So by the time we got in here, Jessie was excited. And so she had launched off into a spiritual place. And look to where it brought us. The glory realm. I believe you shouted it out today. I believe you won. Yes, good girl. Yeah, go ahead.
I have not been able to get off that floor by myself. This morning, if you prayed for me, I got up by myself. Nobody prayed
for me. Woo! She got up by herself. Praise the Lord. I love it. Thank you, Jesus. So Rhonda went down and nobody was behind her, but she's fine because she fell out in the Holy Ghost. I was like, whoa! When she came back, she was good. Praise the Lord. Ramona, I'm sorry. Sorry. Where's Rhonda? Rhonda, you're in the wrong seat. You're over here. Sorry. I'm high in the Holy Ghost. So I might call y'all anything. So, you're Deb, right? Okay. Romans 12:1. Let's try again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the world is going to try to squeeze you into its mold. I mean, I'm telling you, religious Christians get squeezed into things. Well, we're going to have to do what they said about this, and we're going to have to do what they said about, I believe even Jesus would wear a mask. You know, the world's going to try. I mean, they've worked slowly in this propaganda over years and years and years to try to turn us into something else. And just you alone, the enemy has tried to work slowly on convincing you that you're a failure, that you're nobody, that nobody loves you, that you're not going to succeed, that you've made too many mistakes, or either that, or he's tried to turn people into victims where it's everybody else's fault.
Yeah.
I'm mad because the church wouldn't pay my way. Stuff like that. I'm mad because mom and them wouldn't give me the money. I'm mad because y'all owe it to me. That's all victim mentality. Because God will help you. He will help me. But the world has tried to confront, and also to, for us to just act like the world. You know, sup, bro? Just act like the world, you know. You're like, was that bad? Well, I don't know. It depends on how far you take it. But we're not the world. We're not the world. We don't cuss like the world. We don't drink like the world.
No.
Amen. We don't spend our money on the things the world spends their money on. We don't believe what the world believes.
Yep.
We believe God is our God Almighty. He's our protector.
Yep.
He's our provider. He's our promoter.
Amen.
Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. It comes from God. He
right.
promotes.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we're not going to be squished into performing like the world. Amen. So we're going to be transformed. We are not to let the world, our life, tell us who we are. The Word tells us who we are. The Word says that we're changed by the renewing of our mind. So we have to change. And we need major construction from the shoulders up. We need to get our thinking right. And that's what the Scripture is telling us. Renew your mind. Get your thinking right. This is something you have to do all the time. There are people in here, we've been in the Word for years and years and years. But if we let go of the Word, we could start thinking the wrong things. It's just like you quit eating, there's a result coming. Sooner or later. Amen. Now, there's something that God wants to do. And that's what I want to talk about today. He wants to acclimate us to heavenly realms. There's something that God wants to do. He wants to acclimate us to heavenly realms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's where we were in the praise.
Yeah.
That's where you just were when you marched up here and said, I'm going to shout this out.
Mm-hmm.
You were coming into the realm, into the place, into the spirit. The atmosphere had changed in here, and you were coming up in there and making your declaration and doing what the Spirit was leading us to do. So we have to get acclimated to the spirit realm. We don't just have, here's God, and then we just do stuff.
No.
Mm-mm. Are y'all here?
Yeah.
But you don't, you get in on His plan. You get in there with Him. And so We need to be in touch spiritually. And so that brings change and growth, and it causes us to walk out the plan of God if we'll actually do that. And now, we do know that there's gradual change. And as you read the Word, you have gradual change. Some people, the day they get saved, they drop off all the junk. Not all of it, but you know what I mean. Those basic outward things. Then quit smoking, quit chewing, quit hanging around those that are doing it, and you know, stuff like that. No, I'm kidding. But they'll, you know, a lot of people like, I never drank another drop after I got saved. And then there's other people that didn't do that, right? Sometimes things are gradual for people.
Yeah.
Brother Copeland had a bad smoking habit. And he smoked all the way down to Houston, put his cigarettes up in that, I know the story well,
yeah.
Put his cigarettes up in the, what do you call it, visor, and went into the meeting. He's in that meeting for 3 weeks and forgot about the cigarettes.
Wow.
That's the way to do it.
That
don't try in your flesh.
Yeah.
Let God push that stuff out.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, if you've been in this church for about a year, most of that kind of stuff should already be pushed out.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, you're being hard. No, I'm telling you the truth, church.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I got three amens on that one, but y'all still love me. Now, so there's also, though, things that can change in a snap. So the Word drives things out, but then sometimes when we get in the Spirit, like whatever was in you that you couldn't get off the floor is now gone. It changed in a snap, see? Things can change in a snap because John the Baptist said that Jesus would come and He would baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And when He baptized us with Holy Ghost and fire, what happened was, it's not talking about fire like I'm going to baptize you with trouble.
No.
He's talking about the fire of the Spirit. And so He has His winnowing fork. And so He throws up all the wheat and the chaff burns out. It's blown out.
Right. Right.
And so a lot of times just a good touch from the Holy Ghost, just a shout out like you did, will push that stuff out of you. I was telling the group earlier today that in our ministers' conference meetings, you know, all those grown-up ones, Brother Copeland will say, now, I want you to just say hallelujah. And everybody, hallelujah. And then he says, now I want you to shout hallelujah. Hallelujah! But here was the difference. When we said hallelujah, everybody just said it. But when we shouted hallelujah, praise erupted after we said it.
Yeah.
There's something that can be launched from you that can break things out of there. Amen. I'm glad you did. So, you know, thank God for his word. I believe the word is the answer to all things. I do. I believe the word has the power within itself to bring itself to pass. If you'll quote the word, it'll come to pass in your life. How do I know that? Because the scripture says not that the word will not return void. It will accomplish and prosper where it's sent. So right now, I'm sending it into you, and you're prospering right now. You're prospering right now. And then thank God for his presence. For in his presence, we change by the anointing, power of the anointing. Church, never excuse yourself from the word, for surely you will become a flake. People that aren't anchored in the word and they're just spirit, 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 they get flaky. You got to be anchored in the word. But do not excuse yourself from the presence of God, for surely you will dry up and wither. Can you tell the withered, dried up people? There's nothing in there. We're singing, there's joy in the house of the Lord. And they're like, No. Get a little spunk. Come on. Amen. Scripture says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you,
right. Both,
then you'll ask what you will and it'll be done for you. That's what the word said in John 15:7. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you're going to ask what you will and it'll be done for you. Why? Because if you're in the word, you're anchored, you're going to be asking the right thing. If you're in the spirit, you're abiding in him, you're in constant contact with him, you're in union with him, you won't make the mistake either. He'll lead you, he'll guide you. I just heard someone's thoughts. Can we really do it? Yeah. Yeah. It's totally possible to practice the presence of God. It absolutely is. Practice being the key word. You just keep doing it. Let's just think about this. We'll get a few examples as we're going along here. What about Moses? Moses worked really, really hard for a long time, trying to figure out how to get those people out of there. And then he had to leave because he killed somebody. And then he went over and he lived until he finally met the burning bush. But when he met the burning bush, things changed.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? I know what you're thinking. Okay. He got in the presence of God and things changed. Come on, church.
Amen.
When you get into the presence of God, things will change. You're in his presence. He got in the presence of God. He said, I'm going to take my shoes off. He didn't go, well, look at that thing burning. Wonder if it's God. I'm going to go on because I'll be late. The ball game starts in a little while. And what was her name? What was Mama's name? Forget. Anyway, Honey's at home, and she's got the goat barbecuing, and we got to go. Got to go make some butter. They had to make their butter, you know. Yeah, that's right. So anyway, no, he said, I'm going to stop right here. Remember Joshua stood in the tent door? He didn't leave. Mm-mm. But so everything got a whole lot better when things changed for Moses when he was there, got in the presence of God. In 1 Samuel 10, there's a man named Saul who said he wasn't ready to be the king. But a prophet showed up, and a prophet began to talk to him. He just said he wasn't ready. But in fact, he just hid on the day of his crowning. Do y'all remember that?
Yeah.
He actually hid, but he was very timid, and he was this huge guy. I mean, he was. But What happened was when the prophet came and anointed him, the prophet prophesied all this stuff over him, and he began to change. And you can read all about it. It's over there. You can go read about it. I'm not going there, but 1 Samuel 10. He was anointed. He found favor. He had supernatural increase that day and advancement. In verse 6 there, it said, you will be turned into another man. So when the anointing came on him, he was turned into another man. And it says, these signs come to you. They come to you. Do as occasion serves you. So when he got anointed, all of a sudden all these occasions began to serve him. Oh, look at here. Oh, well, this has come in. Oh, well, look at that. Well, I just hear somebody right now, well, that never happens to me. Well, get anointed. Amen. Well, I thought I was. Well, try again because you might need some more. You leak. We'll get to that. Praise the Lord. Okay, so even a bunch of men, their hearts changed, and they began to gather in people. And then we know there's a guy named Paul. He was on his way to kill Christians. His name was Saul, actually, then. And he got knocked off his horse by what? The presence of God. So the presence changed Paul forever. And, of course, he is real big for us. So now remember in that scripture it said, prove what is the acceptable, good, and perfect will of God. When you're renewing your mind, you're proving that. Ephesians 5:15, and Wesley's going to put it up here. Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Be filled, be filled, be filled. Everybody say, be filled.
Be filled.
So being filled is a continual action. You're constantly being filled. It's like you drink water all day long.
Yeah.
You should. And then you just, so you're being filled. And then you have something that'll help your body.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't be spiritually dehydrated. So you keep being filled. You keep being filled. You keep being, well, I don't know how to do that except when I'm at church and Jesse gets wild. Yeah. Yeah, you do. You know how to be filled. Father, I worship you. I give you glory. Thank you, Lord. Find a little song to sing. Yeah, but I can't sing in tune. God doesn't care. Just sing. Praise the Lord. Just do something. Just lift him up. Just turn to him. Lord, I worship you. Just that simple. Just come into his presence. Spend a little time with him. That's how you continually be filled. So it says, now, interesting enough, he likened that to being drunk with wine. Now, so what does being drunk do? Now, some of y'all know about that. I do too. Now, it alters your personality. Being drunk alters your personality. Lord, bless them wherever they're going, and bless whoever they're picking up. In Jesus' name. For those of you wondering what I'm doing, there's a helicopter, a life flight helicopter going over our head right now. Now, so it alters your personality. Now, y'all know this. It makes your judgment different. Make sure, you should see y'all's faces. I wish I had a mirror. Some of y'all are going, this is good. This is good. So, yeah, make sure, guess why? Listen, because you're under the influence. You're under the influence. I can give you a lot of stories right here, but I'm not going to. Under the influence. And so wine makes you pliable, or any kind of alcohol makes you pliable to the devil's kingdom. Yeah. Why? Because you don't have good judgment.
Right.
Well, you know, I just feel like I'm in the Spirit and I love the Lord when I'm doing that. No, you don't. Well, I need to relax. If you're dependent on a substance to help you relax, you really need the Holy Ghost. Pastor don't like alcohol. Church, it's your life. I'm not going to police you, but I will tell you this. I've been there. I've done that. It pays no dividends, and it costs a lot of money. And I have raised up people that I love so much that I would never take a drink in front of them because they were alcoholics. And that is not worth it to me for 1 minute to see one fall back into that.
That is right.
Oh, Pastor had a drink. I think I'll have one. Ain't no way.
Uh-uh.
I love you too much.
Amen.
And I don't want us to be altered.
That's right.
Don't get in my leadership if you're a drinker. Don't be on the praise team if you're a drinker. What? Yeah. No, we're not doing it. Sorry. But they're serving wine at the other churches. We'll go there then because we're not going to do it here.
I'm
not going to hunt you down. I'm not looking for it. But I'm just telling you, this is the best way. This is the best way. Okay, now let's talk about being drunk in the Spirit. Because that's where I really wanted to go. But, you know, the Holy Ghost. So, being drunk in the Spirit makes you pliable to God's kingdom. Because you don't care. Think about Tuesday afternoon after your Southwest Believers Convention. You're walking down there to the Red Wasp. Praise the Lord. Hey, policemen, praise the Lord. Hey, demonstrators, praise the Lord. I mean, you're just boom.
Yeah, it's true.
You leave here today, you're going to feel just like that.
Boom.
You're like, do you know Jesus?
Yeah.
Why? Because you're filled and you're pliable to the kingdom.
Yeah.
Peter is the best case.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, Lord, you know I'm never going to deny you. I'm with you, man. We'll do what we got to do. And then when they get Jesus, Peter's like, I don't know him. Cuss, cuss, cuss. I do not know him. Cuss, cuss, cuss. I do not. He's hiding and running. That's the flesh. That's the being to the world, being a part of the world. He's bragging about all that. And then he does, well, there's several things we could list about Peter. But the good news is on the day of Pentecost, once he was filled with the Spirit, once he was overflowing with the Spirit, he stepped out there and says, we're not drunk as you suppose, but we're drunk on the Holy Ghost. And 3,000 people came into the kingdom. That's what happens when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. 3,000 people, $3,000, $300,000, 3,000 healings, 3,000, whatever. Put your sights up there for 3,000. Let's just reach 3,000 people in the from here to December. Let's reach 3,000 people. Can we do it? Yeah. Yeah, we usually minister about to 21,000 people a year in our different events and stuff. We can reach 3,000 more because we're going to be filled with the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
I preach myself happy. Okay, now, so he had that boldness on him. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Everybody here knows what I'm about to say. Dynamite power. What's the Greek word? See, I told you everybody in here knew it. So that means explosive power. That means you're like, hey, I got this. Hey, y'all, I got saved when I was 9 years old. So, and we went to the Baptist church, so they didn't do that, what we do. But it was lovely. We learned the word, and it was good, and I appreciated it. I still have good, very good thoughts about our little church. But we moved down the street and went to church with Corliss and Datha. I don't think I've ever mentioned their names, but if you ever see this, thank you for changing our lives.
Yes.
And so they were people that had come out of the Pentecostal church, but they were filled. That lady was the sweetest, maybe the sweetest person I've ever met in my life to this day.
Yes.
She just oozed of love.
She
still does. Yes. And so they began to teach us about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, my mom and them, they're Baptists. But my grandmother was a Pentecostal. and my other grandmother on my daddy's side. And so when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, my mother comes, she sees the change. And I was 21 years old, and she comes marching outside, and my grandmother's name was Ethel, my daddy's mom. She comes marching outside and puts her hands on her hip and says, "Well, Ethel got the Holy Ghost." Because now my mouth was running about God. My Baptist mother got that. That when I turned out to be like Mamaw.
Yeah.
Mamaw was excited about God.
Yeah.
Mamaw was preaching in your face. Yeah. Mamaw wanted to do something for God. She was filled with the Spirit. And my mother recognized the difference, and then my mother got filled with the Spirit.
Woo.
And the whole family did.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. They're all tongue talkers. So anyway, Baptist tongue talkers, but they're Baptist. No, I'm kidding. Kidding. Praise the Lord. So now I'm going to try to get finished here. Oh, I got a long time. We're just having so much fun. All right. So where do I want to go? Thank you, Jesus. Being in the presence of the Lord is intoxicating.
Yes.
It's intoxicating. And it makes people fall out. People are like, why are those people falling out? What are they doing? They're so emotional. No, we don't give courtesy drops. If you went out, it's because the Spirit touched you. Moved on you so much that your body felt it. And, you know, a lot of y'all just get real limp and fall out like that. Me and Jesse, we start looking like chickens. Start doing all this stuff, see? I can remember at Tree of Life Church, there's this man that would preach. His name was Mark Brzee. And he would go through the aisles, and he'd just keep teaching and keep teaching and just keep. He was just teaching. But the Spirit of God would fall like it's falling right now. And everybody started getting intoxicated. And, I mean, we were sliding down in our chairs. We were sliding off laughing. But he kept the teaching, and he kept going, and he kept going. But everybody in there was intoxicated, am I right?
Yep.
It was beautiful days. And he was a Brother Higgins kid.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody down, just wiped out, laughing. The stage at Tree of Life was real high, remember? And Ray Gene Wilson, you know, Danny's favorite.
Yeah.
Ray Gene Wilson, and he was a bigger man then. He leaped off that stage. And we were like, oh. And he just flew through the air. Do you remember that? And I think we might have been sitting together, and we were like, wow. I mean, things happen in the glory, in the anointing, that are amazing. It changes your life. There's something on the inside of you. You just begin to just feel totally different. He just starts moving on you. And while he's moving on you and you're enjoying it, it's just cleaning everything out. Yeah, yeah. See, then you're anointed for service. Then when you leave here and you have to drop by HEB and someone says, "You look really shiny. Could you just pray for me?" Or you may just see someone who just says, and you just put your hand on them and say, "How you doing? Bless you." And they're like, "Oh, whoo." You know, just, I mean, it's just interesting how God moves. There's somebody being healed right now. You're being healed. Somewhere in your head, you're healed right now. Something going on in your head in Jesus' name. I'm going to take that too. Thank you, Jesus. The anointing removes burdens. The anointing destroys yokes. The anointing destroys. It doesn't break them. If you break, you can glue it back together. It destroys them. They just turn to dust. Just turn to dust. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Now, it said, And I thought I was going to read you that scripture. I might have skipped a page or something. But for your personal life, this is very important. This is where you'll get all these ideas. You'll get these concepts. Different things will happen. But then it says this too. So a lot of stuff's going on. Your personal life's being led. Your soul's getting worked on. Your spirit's rising up and taking charge. You and God are communicating better. You and the Holy Spirit. Y'all with me so far? All these things are happening to you. And then here's this other thing. You become a witness. You become a witness. Now stop right there because somebody went, oh. Just wait a minute. You got to put this in grace perspective.
Right.
I want you to hear what I'm going to say and hear it right, okay? You have to hear what's right about this. God did not come to make bad men good. Jesus didn't come to make bad men good. He came to make dead men live. See, your spirit was dead until you were born again. And then when you got born again, a light came on the inside of you. You're lit up like God with God on the inside. And so you have something in here. And when you keep charging that light, you get to a place of overflow, then you're going to do something good with it. So it's not this is shocking to religious people, but Christianity is not about doing what's right. What? No. It's not about behavior modification. It's not about behavior modification. Well, I can't go to church because I don't do everything right. That's really stupid. Let me finish that before you shut me down, though. He's not interested in behavior modification. He's interested in heart transformation. He wants your heart to change. And when your heart changes, you'll do what's right. You have to be empowered from the inside, not transformed, conformed by the world. Transformed. They're totally different. If I could just be good, you're not going to. Because that's what Israel did. Give us 10 commandments and we can do it. They couldn't do it. And God set up a sacrificial system until Jesus came.
Praise.
Right? Am I right?
Yeah.
They couldn't do it. You can't do it.
Right.
The law can tell you what's wrong with you, but it won't empower you to change it. Grace will tell you what's wrong with you and empower you to change.
Yeah.
You will be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and your heart will begin to change by the power of the Spirit. Grace changes the heart. And then you want to do good. You want to live right.
Yeah.
So as grace is to your soul, so power is to your work or your witness. You have this grace for your soul, and you have this power for your witness.
Yeah.
So the next time you think I'm too shy, then you probably just need to go and get filled again.
Yeah.
If you're like, I don't want to say anything. I just don't know if I could just... I'm not talking about door knocking. I'm just talking about wherever you're like, man, they need some help, but I don't know if I ought to say anything. Well, you know, you do need to follow the Spirit in that because sometimes people aren't ready. But if you'll follow the Spirit, sometimes you'll just say, hey, I've got some news for you, and it'll work. Deb prays for people all the time, and I have yet to see anyone say, no, don't pray for me. They always say yes. So there's not too much of a chance of you getting rejected. But if they did, it's only going to sting for a minute.
Right.
You'll be like, oh, you don't want it? Okay.
That's right.
But you don't have to force yourself to do that. That comes from the Spirit within. Amen.
Amen.
When you get power, it's easy. That's what they said. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. What's that to us? You'll be witnesses in Marble Falls, in Texas, in America, and in the rest of the world.
Amen.
You'll be a witness.
Amen.
And you're even when you're not talking, you're a witness.
That is so true.
They know where you go to church. They know what you do. They can tell real quick by any reaction you have. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Being filled with the Spirit. Y'all still here? Okay. I sounded like my dear. Y'all still here? Praise the Lord. Yes? Okay, we'll do this one more thing before we close here, and we should be right on the time. One more thing I want to bring out. People are always looking for easy. Yeah? And this is where most people here right now are getting ready for me to say that nothing is easy, and we need to push, and we need to pull, and fast, and do everything we need to do to get where we're going. And I'm not going to say that. I'll tell you something else. We certainly need work in life, okay? We do. There's definitely a place for it. Church, life can be easy. I've had that in my life. Have there been hard places? Yeah, and it's when I took the opportunity to let them be hard. That's just the truth. I know I can blame myself for that. But you have to get over into the easy. And I'm not talking about New Orleans. You have to get into easy, okay?
Yeah.
Three people knew what New Orleans is called. Okay. So here's what we call this. Sweatless anointing. Where live in a sweatless anointing and life will be easier.
Yeah.
Sweatless. First of all, you can't change things with your flesh. No. The only way you're going to change anything is spiritual.
Yeah.
It's the only way. You can work hard and die hard. Yeah. It's not going to change anything.
Right.
Maybe for a season, but it'll fall out.
Yeah.
Now, when you use someone else's power or you use a power tool, life is much easier.
Oh, yeah.
Am I right? Gentlemen, how many of y'all prefer the nail gun over the hammer? Anybody? You know, every once in a while you do have to use a hammer, but the nail gun is awesome.
Really?
They're so cool. Am I right? We like them, don't we? And then you can use a screwdriver or you can use the tool Danny likes, the take-in-put-out tool. That's what she calls it. We call it a drill. I love it. That's what she, let's get that take-in-and-put-out thing. This was years ago. She knows what it is now. Get us that thing, take-in-pull-out thing we do. I mean, even that thing that goes in the cement and it shoots off like a gun. Pow! That thing's cool. All those pneumatic things, they're neat. Amen. Makes a girl's life easy, especially when the boys are doing it. That's the way the presence of God is. It's a sweatless anointing. It makes things easier. It's like having a nail gun with a man doing it for you and you're standing there. Yeah. That's good. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
We got power tools, Art. We have power tools. We have power tools, and they're not limited. We have all the power tools we need. We've got the power. I got the power. How many of y'all know what I'm singing when I do that? Oh, look. Okay. People get healed easy in the anointing. People get delivered easy in the anointing. People understand better in the anointing. People get free in the anointing. They get free. They get delivered. They get changed. You're changing right now. I'm telling you that if you'll get in his presence, you will get into easy.
Yes, that's right.
If you hang around it, it'll rub off on you. You'll walk around in it, the power and the ease. You'll have a sweatless anointing. You can do what you do really good, and with the anointing on it, it's going to be that much better. There's so many things that Danny does that she does with such ease, and we're always inspired by that. I'm like, Danny, and she goes, you know, it's like that. And I'm like, to me, that's the anointing. She's anointed in that area. Think about the licks that you play. I'm like at home going, and he's, I mean, he's anointed to do that. I'm talking about guitar. When you're anointed to do something, it's way better and way easier than when you're struggling. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in and helps you know what to do, how to do, how to live, what's your area, what's your bent, what you're good at. He'll help you with all of that, and then you put the anointing on top of that, you're going to do well, have good finances, be blessed.
Amen.
Don't give up. Never give up.
Amen.
Never. He's got you.
Right,
right now, hey, how many of y'all remember Brother Lawrence? Anybody? Deb will. Brother Lawrence wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of God. It's a little bitty thin book. You should read it sometime. And he made a statement. He said this. He said when he focused on God, everything else got easy. Then what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? What are we going to do? Just focus on God. Just focus. He's got an answer. He has an answer. Lord, I'm just looking at you. I'm not looking the other way. I'm just looking at you. That's what Mary did. Martha's in there trying to cook those beans. And Mary's sitting there looking at Jesus. She's just looking at him. Okay, what are we going to do? What is it? What is it? And I'm telling you, it works. That's when life becomes easy. Just look at Jesus. Just look at the truth. Just get in the anointing. That's all you got to do. Just get in the flow. Get in. Why do we make it hard and work when we could just go into our prayer closet and lift up our hands and worship God in our house and the turnaround would begin to happen? It's in his presence. It's in the glory realm. Get acclimated to it. Whatever you do. Whether you're sales or construction or car salesman or whatever else I see across here, investors and running companies, whatever it is you do, get in the anointing. Get in the presence of God. Go out there on your place and say something about it. Say something about your stocks. Say something about your bank account. Say something about your house. Say something about the land you want to own. Say something about it. And say it in the anointing. Because the word says that if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed to be cast into the sea, and you believe in your heart, you don't doubt that you're going to have what you pray. You know what that's talking about? That's not you saying, I sure hope that mountain moves. It's an authoritative demand launched from the spirit realm. Devil, get off my property. That's what you do. And listen, sickness and stuff, that is just something that's trying to get on you. You are the healed. You don't have to the Lord of him, man. Just with the Lord of him. If he would just tell me, tell it to get off.
Yes.
Tell it to get out.
Yes.
That's right.
That is right. That's good.
Yeah. Talk to your bank account.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm going to make it. It looks low. Well, then that's what's going to happen. He'll help you with that. I'm almost done. The United States is in revival. The world is in revival. The Spirit of God is being poured out. And I just want to encourage you today to get in the presence of God as much as you possibly can. When you're praying, whatever you're doing, don't get drunk on alcohol, which ruins your life, but be filled with the Spirit. Get filled with the Spirit. So if you're called day or night, you can pick up the phone and start praying for somebody. You're called for it. You're called to it.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor, they need to call you. That's why we're training you.
Yeah.
That's what Ephesians says about the fivefold ministry, that we're to train the flock to do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. This is the work of the church.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be laying hands on people. You're supposed to see blind eyes open.
Yeah.
You're supposed to see it.
Yeah.
You're supposed to do it.
That is right.
Not just us.
That
we're supposed
right.
to do it too. Well, whatever happened to house visits and hospital visits? First of all, nobody ever at home. Everybody's working and going, and then I hear some of y'all's schedules. I'm like, wow. Amazing. Well, I got to take this one here and this one here, and then we got to go here and this one and this one. Like, praise the Lord. And kids, I guess. But the truth is, we're anointed. We're anointed. All right, here's the word, and I'm going to close in with this. This is Ephesians 5:15. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Did you hear how to do it? It's telling you now how to do it. Is it up there? Here's how you do it. Here's how you're going to stay full. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's how you're going to do it. And Rachel said something this morning that is so true. She says, if you want to be enthusiastic, you have to act enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yes.
So we don't think for one minute that you're silly if you open up this word and you begin to read one of these psalms and you actually read it with some feeling. Well, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Leads beside still waters.
No.
Dud. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. Yeah, but Pastor, you're a preacher. You're not going to get away with that.
Yeah,
I'm too embarrassed. That's pride. Well, you know, I'm just cool, and I don't talk like that. Give me a break. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because the shadow of a dog never bit anybody. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Put some action into it. Have a little emotion in it.
Amen.
See, y'all did that when y'all was out partying.
Yeah.
I mean, y'all should have seen the party yesterday when Amanda threw three darts and hit every time. Everybody was like, high five, high five. Woo, woo, woo. I mean, they were calling the Astros to see if she could get on the team. And I mean, she did great.
She did.
She's good at games. I whipped them so bad at ping pong. And everybody was, whoa, 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 whoa. High five, Pastor. Who won the game yesterday? The Aggies won? I bet you weren't quiet. Am I making my point?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is Jesus.
Yeah.
He resurrected from the dead for us.
Yeah.
He took all the burdens away.
Yeah.
All of them. All the soul junk. All the pain. All the agony. All the poverty. He flushed it out.
Yeah. Glory to God.
And you're going to sit there and tell me, the Lord is my shepherd.
Glory.
Y'all are just so exuberant, and I just cannot be like that. I'm more of a, you know, peaceful person. Well, get over it.
Yep.
You can be peaceful and be happy in the Lord.
Yeah.
You proved it when you were out there in the world.
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. You could do all them things you all do. Yeah. I know I did it too. I danced every dance. Me and you, honey. I wore my boots all summer long just in case there was a dance.
Yep.
I know all about that, but I can do it for Jesus.
Amen.
Get over yourself.
That's right.
Somebody in here is going, man, when she closes, I'm running. I'll just tell you this. We will never embarrass you or ask you personally to do anything. It's your private life. I'm just encouraging you to let the Spirit flow.
Amen.
That's all I'm doing. If you want to be quiet, you can be quiet. I told somebody yesterday, I said, there's a couple of people sleep through every Sunday, but I figure if they're that tired and it's that peaceful in here, praise the Lord, let them sleep. Right? I mean, right. Praise the Lord. How do I stop this? We got to. Praise God. Okay, everybody good?
Yeah.
Everybody's well? Everybody's healed? Remember, double, triple, quadruple is on.
Yeah.
Amen. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you.